Sometimes God gives a song for the moment, and it may never end up in a song book, but for that moment, it's an incredible inspiration, encouragement for someone. Amen? Maybe you've done that. So he sat in the sanctuary, and his pastor was preaching on a couple of the passages that I'm going to speak on this morning. And as Henry heard his pastor speak, and as I understand, I don't know this for certain, but someone told me yesterday that Henry was blind. He began to be inspired by what his pastor said. And he thought that would be a good song. And so he wrote a song. And he and his wife sang it a few weeks later in church. Pastor invited them to sing it. Pastor heard it and thought it was good as a blessing. So he and his wife sang it in church. Same thing happened with Darlene Check in Australia. The Lord had given her the words to shout to the Lord. She brought it to her pastor, and he said, "Yeah, I think that'll fly. Why don't you sing it?" And how many know what that did? Set the stage for the contemporary music explosion. So Henry sang it. He and his wife sang it in church. There was a young couple from Europe in the military sitting in the audience, and they heard this song, and they thought, boy, that just rings true. So they went back to their base in Europe, and they began to sing it in their chapels. And before long, to use today's vernacular, it wasn't the vernacular in that day in 1978. That was over 40 years ago. But in our vernacular, it went viral throughout Europe. People were singing it everywhere, in chapels and cathedrals and small groups. And it got back to America. And as people were singing it, it had at the end of it, author unknown. And a friend of Henry's recognized the song from when he and his wife had sang it in church. And told Henry that this song had gone all over the world. Henry couldn't believe it. So they called Integrity Hosanna Music Company, who was really producing it at that time, and said, "Do you know who the author is?" And they didn't. And so they got a hold of Henry Smith, and he was able to prove the fact that he wrote the song. And so they began to attribute it to Henry. It has become the third most famous song in the world. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Sing it with me. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. So we've just had choir practice. Henry Smith, who would have thought? 300 songs that went nowhere. And yet, that one song that has been a blessing incredibly to so many people through all these years and continues to be a song even today that blesses people. We have just finished a late Thanksgiving. We're closer to Christmas now than we normally are after Thanksgiving. And I want to tie Thanksgiving into Christmas this morning and get us into the Christmas mode. I'd like you to turn to three passages of Scripture this morning. The first one is 2 Corinthians 12:10. And for those who are looking, I know what time it is, and I don't care, because I'm going to preach this sermon. See, because I've been gone, and I've missed being here. No, I have all the respect in the world for your time, but we're going to take some time here with this passage. 2 Corinthians 12:10. It'll be on the screen, and then we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 8:9. These are the passages that inspired Henry Smith. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I what? Strong. You see, because the Lord had just told him in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul would write, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Everything I go through for Christ's sake, I take pleasure in those, for when I am weak, then I am strong. There comes a strength to me during those times that is not of myself. It is a strength that comes from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Just back a couple of pages, no doubt. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Paul writes these words, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Has nothing to do with money. Has everything to do with grace. How many know that we are wealthy in the grace of Jesus today? Amen? Because of communion. We may be poor as a church mouse or one of the richest billionaires in the world, that means nothing when it comes to this passage. This passage is talking about the riches of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross and gave us his mercy and his grace. Because we all know that money can't buy salvation. Amen? It may build a church, but it cannot save us. It cannot deliver us. It cannot forgive us of one single sin. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. We are rich in the mercy and the grace of Jesus. And then one final passage, please, if you will. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Revelation 3, 17 and 18. To the Laodicean church, the lukewarm church, the church that felt like they didn't need anything. Let me read the words that Jesus spoke to that seventh of seven churches in Revelations 2 and 3. Verse 17 of Revelation 3. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He's not talking about sinners here. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to a church. And he says, you say you're rich and you have need of nothing. You've become wealthy. You don't need anything. But you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you, buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. Has nothing to do with money here. White garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Give thanks with a grateful heart. I was watching the other day on C-SPAN. I was watching an interview with the former ambassador to the United Nations. Help me with her name, Haley. Nikki Haley, thank you. Nikki Haley, an incredible woman. Former governor, tapped on the shoulder by President Trump to be the United Nations representative. And I can't go into all the details. I don't have time this morning of what it took to get her into the United Nations. She had several things she required of our president. He agreed to all of them so that she could be there. And I heard her say this. She said, the Republicans are calling the Democrats evil. They ask her about the political condition of our nation today. She says, the Republicans call the Democrats evil, and the Democrats are calling the Republicans evil. She says, now I'm a Democrat, but I want to tell you this. They're both wrong. That's not evil. She said, I have seen evil. And she said, I have been to Africa. And then she described what they're doing to children. I won't talk about it this morning. It's so disturbing. She says, I've been to Venezuela and watched people line up for their only meal of the day. I have been to, and she mentioned several nations. And by the time she was done, I was almost nauseated with what she said. She said, that's evil. That is evil, not us. She said, on our worst day in America, we are better, and we are better than any other place in the world. And the place stood with applause for her. And I believe that. We ought to be grateful we live in the United States of America. Amen? Amen. Come on, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Because on our worst day, we are better than the evil that is going on throughout the world. Give thanks. What are we thankful for? Communion with a grateful heart. Why do we want to be grateful for communion? It's because we never want to forget what Jesus did for us. And sometimes when you lose gratitude, when you lose the sense of giving thanks, you begin to take things for granted. Thus, the Revelation Church, the church at Laodicea, they said, we've become rich, we are wealthy, we don't need anything. Jesus said, I beg to differ with you. You need everything. You don't realize that you are naked, you are wretched, you are poor, you are blind, you are miserable. You think you have everything, you have nothing. You need to come back to a heart of gratitude. How many know it is easy to slide into a spirit of ingratitude when we forget to give thanks for God? Amen, and His blessings to us. Think of your family. Think of your family. How grateful we need to be for our families today. Amen? When we begin to lose gratitude over our families, or we slide into that sense of ingratitude, we take them for granted. We need to give thanks for our family every single day. You say, Pastor, you don't know my family. No, you're right. Maybe I don't. But they're still family. Amen? They're still family. And so Jesus said to this Laodicean church, you think you're rich, you think you've got everything you need, but no, you need to come back. You need to realize that what you need are three things. You need gold refined in the fire. He said, you need to recognize that your wealth cannot be in what you have in your pocket. Your wealth is in the gold that is representative in this passage of the powerful forgiveness of Jesus Christ and what He has done, because He is more valuable than gold. Amen? Says that in the Psalms. More great than silver. He says you need to have clothing that is white to cover you, the righteousness of Christ. That's what you need. And then He said you need eye salve. You need eye salve. It was interesting that the Laodicean church, Laodicea lived in an area, where they had warm springs that people would soak in. They had and some of the best cold water you could find. And either one of those in themselves was good, but when you put them together, it was lukewarm, and that would make you vomit. It also was an area where they produced an eye salve that helped people with eye problems. And so He said, you need some eye salve to help you see clearly that you need Me. You have forgotten to give thanks for Me. You think you've got everything. You've got nothing because you have forgotten Jesus. And I want to tell you this morning, if anything we ought to give thanks for, it is for Jesus Christ and giving His Son for us. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me on the cross. For dying for me on the cross. Paul said, I take pleasure in infirmities. That's kind of hard. How do you do that? I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses. Ah, for Christ's sake. That's how He did it. He wasn't just looking for problems. Paul didn't wake up every morning going, come on, problems, come on in. Do any of you do that? I don't do that. I don't wake up in the morning saying, all right, bring them on, devil, bring them on. No, I don't do that. Matter of fact, just the opposite. I wake up in the morning hoping I don't have to deal with problems. Come on, how about you? I'm hoping that everything will go smooth. I'm hoping my van will start. I have a story to tell about that, but I won't this morning. I got a call from my mechanic. It was so cute. You'll notice my van's not here today. I don't look for problems, but Paul said, if there are problems that come because I'm serving the Lord, I take pleasure in them. I will gladly be persecuted. I'll gladly bear reproach. I'll gladly have needs. I'll gladly be in distress if it is for Christ's sake. And we have plenty of those. If you're going to live godly in Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. There is no question about it. If you're going to live for Christ in the world that we live in today, in the culture that we live in today, you get ready because you're going to be having fingers point at you. I read the other day, I got a notice from Olympia that they're trying again to put in some very, very, in my opinion, wicked stuff in our schools. And I looked up the website of where it all comes from, and I want to tell you, we are not thought of fondly, the church world. As a matter of fact, they were pretty blunt. They want to eliminate our influence totally from those decisions. We are not liked in this world, but hey, Paul said, I'll delight in them, I'll take pleasure in them, because that's for Christ's sake, amen? It's for Christ's sake. But he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. He talks about a strength that comes in weakness. A strength that comes in weakness. You know what he's talking about. I know what he's talking about. It's those times when we feel like we can't go on. We are suffering for Christ's sake, or we're going through a situation because of our physical bodies or because of mental anguish. Whatever, we're going through it, and we know that the enemy is using it to beat us down. There comes a strength that we don't get any other time. It is a strength that comes when we are weak. Hallelujah. Runners call it that what is it they call it? Those marathon runners. It's, you know, they hit the wall and then they get that second wind. And they have a strength and they don't know where it comes from, but it just comes. It comes. It comes. And then you look at these stories about just the other day, someone was disqualified, I think it was from the Boston or the New York Marathon, because they cheated. They took off running, then they got a ride for half of it, and then they jumped in and finished the race, and they were found out. You don't cheat in this race. Come on, amen? You have to finish it. You get the second win. There's a strength that comes when we are weak, when we're going through something that's tough. Let the weak say, I am strong. That's a lie, Pastor. No, if you're weak, how can you be strong? No, it's not a lie. It is faith talking. It is faith talking. That's why on Sunday mornings you come in and you say, Pastor, how you doing? I say, I'm doing good. And some Sundays, frankly, I'm not doing good. But I am making a statement of faith. I'm doing good by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm doing faith. By faith, I'm doing okay in Jesus Christ, because when I am weak, then am I strong. That's what Paul said. He said, there are times that I am weak, but then I find a strength that comes that enables me to do what God has called me to do. Henry Smith was right when he said, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Wow, think of that. Jesus left the glories of heaven. Jesus left the glories of heaven. There's an old song. It's churning in my brain right now, but it's not coming up. He left the glories of heaven, knowing his destiny. Anyway, whatever it is. You that are my age or up would probably know it, but he did. He was the Son of God. He had everything. He was rich when you think about it, but he left the glories of heaven. He left the riches of heaven, and he became poor. He was born to a little couple Mary and Joseph. She was, commentators say, either between the ages of 15 to maybe 18, but more likely around 15 or 16 years of age. She became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, having never known a man. She lives in a little village, she and Joseph, where the news gets around really, really fast. Small town. We used to be that way in Battleground. Now we're bigger, so it takes a little longer, but it gets around eventually, right? Little Mary, pregnant. She's pregnant. Oh my, did you hear about Mary? Let's pray for her. How many gossips do we do in the name of prayer? Come on. Let's be careful, right? Mary, did you hear about Joseph? Mary and Joseph. Jesus was born into a poor family. They couldn't afford, the best they could do to travel was a donkey. You ever ride a donkey? Anybody here ever play donkey basketball? You ever seen donkey basketball? Is that a riot? Yeah. Little donkey, that probably belonged to Joseph's relatives or maybe Mary's dad. They have nothing. There's no room in the inn. The baby's born in a manger, in a stable. Part of the kids program this year is the kids are going to illustrate that and the Christmas tree and what those things represent. I hope your kids, if you have children, will be involved in the program. It's going to be really cute, I think, and meaningful. He became poor. Why did he become poor? So that we, through his grace, could become rich. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about money. So you can have all the money in the world. And I hope you do. I pray blessing on everyone. Prosperity, thank God. If you have it, thank the Lord for it. But I want to tell you right now, not one thin dime, not one copper penny can buy what Jesus did that we celebrate communion for. Amen? Nothing at all. This was free, but it cost Jesus everything. And he did that so that we would be rich in the grace of Jesus Christ. There is something about knowing. There's something about believing. There's something about just holding on to this, that if we were to die this very moment, and we appeared before Jesus, there is great joy in knowing his first question would not be, how much money do you got? Amen? No. The first question would be, which he already knows the answer, is, do you know me as Savior and Lord? Because that's what's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? There's no dollar signs written in the Lamb's Book of Life, only names that are there of those who have given their hearts to Jesus. Isn't that something money can't buy? We are rich beyond comparison to the world. Amen? We are rich beyond comparison. Because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. It's nice to have dollars. It's nice. When we have good offerings in the church, there's rejoicing in the office. When we have lower offerings in the church, we're still rejoicing, knowing we got another Sunday to come. Praise God. The fact is that we are rich in Christ Jesus. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1 now, please. So give thanks with a grateful heart. Let the poor say, I am rich. The weak say, I am strong for what the Lord has done for us. I want to end this morning by reading the Magnificat, Mary's song. I want to take us from Thanksgiving to Christmas. I want to take us from the turkey to the baby Jesus. I want to take us from fall to winter, if you will. Thanksgiving is a time to give thanks with a grateful heart. And yet it seems to me that song would be appropriate to sing at Christmas time too, because of what the Lord has done. Amen? It all started with the birth of Jesus. But I want you to notice something this morning. In Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 46, this is Mary's song called the Magnificat, because of that first word, my soul magnifies. The word magnifies means to declare the greatness. I want you to notice what she says. This poor little peasant girl, having had a baby, the Son of God, having been chosen from among all the handmaidens in Israel, having been chosen by God, having been overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and impregnated by the Holy Spirit so that Jesus could be born, as was foretold in the prophets by a virgin. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his handmaid, of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. These are incredible words by this young, some would say illiterate, peasant girl. These are words inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that there is a key here to thankfulness. Notice what she says in verse 46. My soul, in the King James, doth magnify the Lord. My spirit, verse 47, has rejoiced in God my Savior. Where soul and spirit meet, she says in verse 49, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices because of what the Lord has done for me. Give thanks. I believe that where soul and spirit meet, it is that mysterious place where in Hebrews says the word of God reaches even to there. It seems to me, by about what Mary just wrote and said, where soul and spirit meet is that place of praise. It is that place of worship. It is that place when we lift up our praises to God and say, for the Lord has done great things for me, that the most powerful of things can happen when I have a grateful heart. It is when my soul and my spirit meet, is at that place somewhere inside of me where I give thanks with a grateful heart that God can do powerful things, and I can declare, when I am weak, I am strong, when I'm poor, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done. Amen. Where soul and spirit meet, that's what happens when we give thanks. It is our soul and it is our spirit, when they are working together, it produces the worship and the praise and the adoration of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Let's stand. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ. And sing it out now. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks, Lord, we give thanks. Let's thank him for his strength today. Amen. 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 Lord, be with your people today. As we exit these doors, may we leave with grateful hearts. Even if we're going through some difficult things, Lord, let us go forth, Lord, with the words of the songwriter and the words of the scripture filling our heart. God, give us a heart of gratitude. Let us continue to give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for Mary's song. May it ring in our hearts as we enter this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming to church today. May the Lord give you a wonderful, wonderful rest of this Sunday day.